It's Thursday, March 26th, and welcome to Higher IQ. A jury in Los Angeles just found Meta and YouTube liable for designing products that harmed and addicted a young user. $3 million in damages, with punitive damages still to come. It's the first verdict of its kind. But the playbook behind it is one we've seen before, from tobacco to opioids to a 79-year-old woman and a cup of coffee. The plaintiff is a 20-year-old woman identified as Kaylee. She started using YouTube at 6 and Instagram at 9. Her lawyers argued that features like infinite scroll, autoplay, beauty filters, and notification systems were deliberately designed to create what they called engineered addiction. By the time she was a teenager, Kaylee testified that she was on social media all day, running to the bathroom at school to check likes, comparing herself to filtered images, developing depression and body dysmorphia. The jury didn't have to decide whether social media caused her problems. They only had to decide whether it was a substantial factor. They said yes. Meta was found 70% responsible, YouTube 30%. The companies argued, what companies in this position always argue. It wasn't us. It was her home life, her learning disabilities, her family history. Not one of her therapists identified social media as the cause, Meta said. The defense sounds reasonable until you see the internal documents. In 2021, a former Facebook data scientist named Frances Haugen leaked thousands of pages of internal research to the Wall Street Journal. Among the findings, Facebook's own researchers had concluded that 32% of teen girls who felt bad about their bodies said Instagram made them feel worse. 13.5% of teen girls in the UK said Instagram made suicidal thoughts more frequent. 17% said it made eating disorders worse. The company's own slide deck read, "We make body image issues worse for 1 in 3 teen girls." Facebook shelved the research. It was never published. Haugen testified before Congress that the core problem was the algorithm. Instagram's feed isn't chronological. It's ranked by engagement, which means the content that generates the most clicks, comments, and reactions gets pushed to the top. Haugen explained that content triggering anger, insecurity, and comparison performs better than content that's neutral or positive. For a teenage girl already struggling with body image, the algorithm creates a feedback loop. She engages with content about appearance, the system feeds her more of it, her self-image deteriorates, and she uses the app even more. Facebook's own researchers described this dynamic internally. Haugen said the company understood that making the algorithm safer would mean people spending less time on the platform, clicking fewer ads, and generating less revenue. So it chose not to. During the trial in Los Angeles, the plaintiff's lawyers showed the jury internal Meta documents in which executives discussed strategies to attract younger users. One document stated, "If we want to win big with teens, we must bring them in as tweens." Another showed that 11-year-olds were 4 times as likely to keep coming back to Instagram compared to competing apps, despite the platform's stated age minimum of 13. When Zuckerberg was asked on the stand about underage users, he acknowledged that a meaningful number of people lie about their age to use our services. This is the part of the story where it stops being about social media specifically and starts being about a pattern. In 1994, the heads of the 7 largest U.S. tobacco companies stood before Congress, raised their right hands, and testified under oath that they did not believe nicotine was addictive. Less than a month later, a box of confidential documents from Brown and Williamson was delivered to the University of California at San Francisco. Those documents showed that the tobacco industry had known since the late 1950s that cigarettes caused cancer. They had known nicotine was addictive. They had funded research designed not to find truth, but to manufacture doubt. An internal tobacco industry memo, now famous in legal history, stated the strategy plainly. Doubt is our product, since it is the best means of competing with the body of fact that exists in the mind of the general public. Their approach to children was equally calculated. One internal document noted the goal of reaching young smokers early, because hooking kids at 12 meant they'd be hooked for life. By 1998, 46 states had sued, and the industry settled for $206 billion, the largest civil litigation settlement in American history. Since the settlement, smoking rates in the U.S. have been cut nearly in half. The legal mechanism that brought tobacco down wasn't about whether people chose to smoke. It was about whether the companies knew the product was dangerous, hid that knowledge, and designed the product to be more addictive. That's the same framework the plaintiffs used against Meta and YouTube. They didn't sue over the content on the platforms, which Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act protects. Section 230, passed in 1996, shields internet companies from liability for what users post. For years, social media companies used it as an almost impenetrable legal defense. But the plaintiffs in this case went around it by targeting the design of the apps themselves. The infinite scroll, the algorithmic feed optimized for engagement, the notification systems engineered to pull you back, the beauty filters that distort how teenagers see their own faces. The argument is that these aren't neutral features. They're product design choices, and product design choices are subject to product liability law. They're the social media equivalent of adding chemicals to make cigarettes more addictive. The McDonald's coffee case fits the same pattern, even though most people remember it wrong. In 1992, Stella Liebeck, 79 years old, spilled McDonald's coffee on her lap and suffered third-degree burns across her thighs and groin. She spent 8 days in the hospital and needed skin grafts. She asked McDonald's for $20,000 to cover her medical bills. They offered $800. What came out at trial, McDonald's served its coffee at 180 to 190 degrees, 40 degrees hotter than competitors. Their own quality assurance manager testified the coffee was not fit for consumption at that temperature. They had received over 700 complaints about burns in the previous decade, including burns to children. They knew. They didn't change the temperature. The jury awarded $2.7 million in punitive damages, roughly equal to 2 days of McDonald's coffee revenue. The case became a punchline because McDonald's and the tort reform lobby successfully reframed it as a frivolous lawsuit. But the jury saw photos of the burns. They heard the 700 complaints. They learned the company chose profit over a temperature change that would have cost them nothing. The pattern repeats. An industry builds a profitable product. Internal research shows the product causes harm. The company buries the research and keeps selling. When people get hurt, the company argues it's the user's fault. A whistleblower or a lawsuit forces the internal documents into public view. A jury says, "You knew." The verdict is the first domino. There are over 1,600 pending lawsuits against social media companies from families and school districts. TikTok and Snapchat settled before this trial started. A separate jury in New Mexico ordered Meta to pay $375 million for enabling child sexual exploitation on its platforms. The jury in the Los Angeles case also found that Meta and YouTube acted with malice, oppression, or fraud, which means punitive damages are coming on top of the $3 million already awarded. The tobacco settlement cost the industry $206 billion and cut smoking rates in half. The social media version of that reckoning started in a Los Angeles courtroom. Whether it reaches the same scale depends on what the next 1,600 cases reveal about what these companies knew, when they knew it, and what they chose to do about it. So if this comes up in conversation, here's how to frame it. A jury just found Meta and YouTube liable for the first time for designing products that harmed a young user. The legal strategy bypassed Section 230 by targeting the design of the apps, not the content. Internal documents showed Meta knew Instagram made body image worse for 1 in 3 teen girls and chose not to act. The same "they knew" pattern brought down tobacco, forced McDonald's to answer for 700 burn complaints, and is now being applied to the platforms in your pocket. 1,600 more cases are waiting. Stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.